Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Sergeant Gonzalo Duran for Vet Talk Radio. It's an honor to be with you here on the Blog Talk Radio platform. A special thank you to the Patriot Nation Radio Network for giving us this opportunity to let veterans have a voice across the country and organizations that are willing to help veterans share their information to help veterans as well. Now, we're going to go on a short top-of-the-hour break, and then we'll be right back. I just want to say, once again, thank you very much. Today's guest is Lisa Spencer, veteran advocate, someone who's been pushing towards not only female veterans, but also the art community through art therapy. So we'll be back in about 3 minutes, everyone.
Thank you for listening to Patriot Nation Radio, 347-637-3942.
Attention conservatives. Big social media is targeting conservatives like you and me in an effort to silence us and the truth. The free speech social media that you have waited for is here at LibertyRush.com. No longer do you have to be distracted by fake news. Join the war on fake news at LibertyRush.com. The official alternative with no libtard rhetoric. Guaranteed. LibertyRush.com.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dave Bray, America's favorite patriotic rocker, and you are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Network.
Dave Bray, USA, right now on Facebook at DaveBray, USA. I know a lot of cops, you know, in and out of uniform. Very straightforward, good people. Deep down inside, they are very human, just like you and I. They don't choose the laws they uphold. They have to uphold the ones that are put in place by our representatives. And our representatives are the people that we put in office. And the same people that are out there with their signs are the same people that are putting lunatics in office. So here's the wake-up call, people. Don't come down on the men and women in blue for doing their job. Come down on the representatives for passing these BS laws and fix the problems in our laws today. Get involved in your local politics. And that's what I think the song says more over than anything else.
All units, stand by for a special announcement. Emergency traffic only.
11:45. Prince William calling, 11:45. This is the final call for 11:45. Officer Ashley Gwinden, end of watch, February 27, 2016. May you rest in peace.
This message is brought to you by TheAmericanBrand.org. We are a 501c4 nonprofit founded by veterans for all Americans to strengthen the roots of American working class by telling the stories of America through citizen storytellers. In partnership with Patriot Nation Radio, we are donating $50 to the nonprofit Devil Dog USA with each purchase of a $250 lifetime membership to TheAmericanBrand.org. Devil Dog USA is dedicated to helping homeless veterans find housing and opportunity. Sign up today at TheAmericanBrand.org. That's TheAmericanBrand.org for a lifetime membership and use the sales code Devil Dog USA at checkout. Again, that's one word, Devil Dog USA. Help us give honor to those who have served.
Thank you for listening to Patriot Nation Radio. 347-637-3942.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Sergeant Gonzalo Duran, Vet Talk Radio. On the line, I have with me Lisa Spencer, veteran advocate. She's one of the liaisons for Devil Dog USA in Albany, and she just recently left one of the Jericho positions that she had. So, Lisa, thank you for being here with us today. Thank you so much, and we can't wait to hear some of the information you want to share with us today.
Okay. No problem. I'm glad to be here.
Would you start off with giving us some information of your background?
Well, to give you a brief overview, I'm the youngest out of three girls, single mom. When my mom passed away, I went into the military. I served in the Navy 4 years. I served during the Desert Storm, Desert Shield era, even though I didn't go over there. I was the support team for the troops that were going called out. And when I mean support, I mean... Huh?
No, continue, please.
Oh, when I say support, I mean we were the ones that they called to make sure that their family's records were up to date, that their dummy records were up to date, the ID cards, the pay records, the personnel records. We made sure all of that was up to date when they got ready to leave.
Now, your time in service, you took that with a passion because, I mean, I've seen your background and your portfolio. You have a strong connection still with the veteran community.
Yes.
Is there any specific highlight that you'd like to mention that that you're very proud of?
Well, actually, the fact that I even served, that I'm just actually very proud of, you know, the fact that I was able to come out of there with two medals, you know, a good conduct medal and the National Defense Medal.
You know, that's one of the most American patriotic things I've heard on this station so far. That's a beautiful sentiment. Thank you for sharing that.
No problem.
I saw a old clip of you at Fox News. Would you give us some information on that?
Yes. I did an interview. It's called New York City Homeless Crisis. And as living in Jericho Project, I was able to be an advocate for the homeless vets, you know, and I spoke out on the fact of how hard it is that when we come out of the military, that it's extraordinarily hard to transition into civilian life, you know. There's really, really hard to find employment to serving in the military, you know, so it makes it very hard for us to not only get stable employment, but even get housing, which is the main problem.
Yeah, one of the things I do my best to preach to those entering the military, those getting out of the military soon is prepare yourself. You know, go out there, and you know, it's not an easy thing to say to Lance Corporal or Corporal getting out, but, you know, you're going to have 6 months' worth of income before you get out. Do your best to try to get your education because, unlike the officer routes, we're, you know, like 5 to 6 years behind them getting out. You know, we go in at 18 normally and without an education, and you have to get that education to get that these jobs out here, and then you need 2 years of experience at a minimum to get a decent job. These guys just don't see it. They don't understand yet. And then when they feel it, it's too late.
Exactly, because a lot of times, I know when I went in, mainly the people that I spoke to were basically in it to travel, you know. But as I was in, I learned that actually traveling isn't the most important thing to get an education, you know. And if you get it before you go into the military, I mean, you can go in as an officer, you know, depending on what kind of education you got.
Now, what I'm trying to get at is, you did have a hard transition getting out. I won't go too deep because I did read your bio and I got a tremendous amount of information. You're somebody who's been willing to open up so that you can try to save other veterans out there. But let's talk about the positive things since you have got out of your hardship. You know, when you mentioned the Jericho Project earlier, you left out, you became a tenant associate or advocate in there. Right.
Yes. I do that, and I take that very passionate. Go ahead.
I'm assuming you had a lot of pushback with that?
Yeah, I was kind of pushed into it, but you know what? I really didn't have to be pushed. They asked me if I wanted to do it, and I said yes. I said, because I'm very passionate about that, because I've been there. You know, I've been coming out of the military, you know, the drugs, the homelessness, you know, everything. But I want people to see that you can always bounce back from that.
And your biggest advocacy is one, housing, and the second one is art therapy.
Yes. I got into art very young. When I was a teenager, I used to play basketball in school. And when I wasn't in school, me and my mom would sit down and do a lot of arts and crafts stuff. And so I had came out of it for a while. And then while I was at Jericho, I started up.
Yes. So I noticed you had two events recently, two art shows, one of them in the Bronx, but now you're no longer located in the Bronx.
Right.
So now the one you held in the Bronx, you were basically the main attraction there, and you had, I want to say, at least 12 art pieces that I saw.
Yes. Yes.
What happened to those pieces?
They got sold.
Okay. Now, for the viewers that are listening, they can't see this right now, but if they wanted, what we're going to do is we're going to put some of your artwork on our display with the link for this episode. If a veteran wanted to, or an individual wanted to come out and say, look, I love your artwork, I'd like to purchase one of them, how would they go about doing that?
They can contact me through my email.
Which is?
Which is China, CHYNNA, MARTINR, @gmail.com.
Perfect. Now, if the listeners didn't get 100% of that, you feel free to contact us here as well, and we'd be happy to direct you to not only your email, but for Lisa, so you can see some of our artwork and then even purchase it. Now, what do you do with, the profits from the artwork that you're collecting?
Say that again?
What are you doing with the profits from the artwork that you're selling?
I repurchase more stuff.
And from what I was gathering, correct me if I'm wrong, but I see from your profile that you take some of the money and you use to help other veterans with their art projects out there.
Yes. Yes.
So
yes, because it's so important to have that.
So you don't
stop in your
work of helping.
I'm not going to stop either. So long as there's breath in this body, I'm not going to stop.
I love that. Now, you joined, I don't think you went into the reason why you joined. Is there a specific reason why you joined the Navy?
Well, believe it or not, I initially took the test for the Army, but the Army was saying something about I needed a driver's license or something like that, so I crossed over to the Navy.
Oh, it's their loss. No big deal. Well, the reason
that's what I said.
The reason I mentioned that, because I don't know if you heard, but recently the DOD, opened the draft for females to coming into the military. I don't know if it's been approved yet or not, but what's your feelings on that?
Yeah, I was reading on that, and I'm like, and my whole thought is like, hey, you know, women talk about equal rights, you know, as far as doing what a man can do. So if a man can be drafted, why can't a woman be drafted? You know, that's my whole thing on it, you know.
This is one of the few times I've ever heard the Republican Party go against the Democratic Party so hard. I believe the Speaker pretty much said he wouldn't want that to pass and deny his vote on that. So it's a hot topic right now, with especially with so many women going into these new combat fields. I recently heard, I want to say it's artillery, the first artillery female has graduated and is actually in a leadership position as a lieutenant or a captain. I really can't remember. I got to check up on them, but it was an eye-opener.
And that's exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, start filling up these holes with women, you know, like even in the Navy, you know, a woman still can't go on a submarine. Of course, that's understandable, but I'm just saying a woman is not allowed on a submarine. She cannot go on a submarine. But you can put
her on. I didn't know that.
Yeah. The only thing the woman in the Navy is not can't do is go on a submarine.
Interesting. Now I'm assuming that's a field that many would love to jump into.
I mean, and then even the SEALs, you know, the SEALs, the Navy SEALs are all male, not female. Females are not allowed in that either.
Oh. Yeah, that's a good topic to look into for more fans, because, I mean, things are going to change soon with all these changes. And now that we have women completing the courses for leadership positions, like platoon leaders and CEOs for these companies and platoons, they're going to be changing. And, you know, I never had a problem with a female staff and CEO in charge of me, or even officer. To me, I never saw a difference between male and female. Did you see a big difference when you were in? I mean, because you were in the roughly 20. I'm not trying to put your age out there, but at least, you know, 15 or 20 years ago.
No, I was in 89. So at that time, I was 23 when I went in.
Once again, I was putting your age out there. It's the pictures that I saw on you that we posted on here. I'm surprised you didn't jump into the model profession before going into the military. That's a different topic.
No, because I had to do, well, first of all, I've been wanting to go into the military for a while anyway, you know, before my mom even passed. It's just that when she passed, that it was like, you know, I took the test and I went in on a delayed entry program.
And then from there, everything went from there.
Yeah. And the difference between, I have no problems between male and woman, except for certain things.
Okay, I'm all
ears. When we talk about military sexual trauma, okay? When a base catches a charge like that, first of all, one of the two people should have been removed off the base. You know what I'm saying? So that's like catching a rape charge. If a rape charge comes, you wouldn't want to keep those two people looking at each other day in, day out. And this is where you can actually see the male-oriented military, you know, because they're like, their attitude is like, well, okay, if you want to work like a man, if you want to be like a man, then we're going to treat you like a man, which is not right,
because I can only imagine how difficult a situation like that would be. You know, the units that I was with First Radio Time, Belongings, and TLC, and RS New York. You know, when my leadership there took issues between sexual assault or harassment very seriously. So I never saw any relaxed or controversy issues like that. Even if a senior leader had, you know, tried to date a junior enlisted female, or either up, you know, either way, back of male, female, it didn't matter. They took stuff like that very serious, and I saw a lot of people, you know, moved out very quickly, or they received their punishment. So I'm very fortunate in my perspective of the military that I didn't see the negativity part of it. But I've heard a lot of stories, and some of them are sad. And I couldn't imagine somebody in that position where they've been the victim and they still have to continue working with somebody there. Because we all know the chain of command is not an easy thing to break through, and you still have to say yes, sir, and no, sir, yes, ma'am, et cetera.
Right. And see, my whole thing is, too, when I say military sexual trauma, it's not just applying to the female. This applies to the males, too. But the difference between the male and the female is more quick to report it than the male will.
And we thank you for bringing that up.
Believe it or not.
People forget about it. People forget about it, and they tend not to bring that conversation up. It does happen to the male population as well.
Yeah.
Is there anything in the works for you in the next couple weeks or months that you're working on that you'd like to tell the audience?
Well, actually, I was going to Lehman College for my credential alcohol substance abuse counselor, which is also called the KSAC trainee certificate, and I finished it in July of last year. And I just got the paperwork from New York State OASIS to get fingerprinted and my picture taken, so I had that done today. But now I'm just waiting on getting my certificate. And then when I get my certificate...
Congratulations.
Thank you. When I get my certificate, I know I'm going to have to intern, but my main focus is going to be dealing with the female veterans.
So one of the biggest topics that I like to fight for is services like that you're about to soon provide, and then also additionally mental health. One of the big, you know, when I was at the, I guess, the social workers, one of those big meetings that they have, I don't know the name of it right now, but what I told a room full of doctors and social workers was, my thing is providing services for veterans after hours, beyond the 9 to 5 hours, because trying to get an appointment with somebody on a regular basis during working hours leaves us very vulnerable to losing our jobs and getting services that we need, choosing between, you know, getting the services and then just keeping it quiet. What's your take on, I mean, what are you going to be pushing for? Is there something you have? Because you're a veteran. You've gone through some struggles. You've helped out many people along the way, because I've seen the things that you've done. I'm assuming because you're a fighter as well, what are you going to be pursuing directly when you receive the last component, which is the certificate?
Well, basically, like you said, you know, there's usually no round-the-clock tension at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock, you know, workday ends. And I don't think when you're dealing with a population that's dealing with all kinds of issues, that the workday should not stop there, you know, because if you have somebody in crisis, You know, I mean, we do have the vet crisis line, but there's got to be somebody there that be willing to, if they get a call at 2 o'clock in the morning, okay, I'm going in. You know, this person really needs it. You know, I
Do you think the services that are out there already are enough, or should we, or any changes you would recommend?
No, I don't think there's enough, especially not for the females. There's not enough. There's not enough.
And that's the category that you're going to be focusing on?
Yes. Yes.
Any,
that don't mean I'm going to shut down my daughter. Huh?
Any subcategories with that? Any drugs or... I don't know the... the specific background with that certificate that you mentioned.
Well, mine would be the drugs and alcohol. So that's just part of it.
Okay.
I can't go no further than that because I'm not social worker as of yet. But right now, I can deal with the alcohol and drugs aspect part of it, and that's where. As I learned myself, that's where they come in hand. If you got your drug and alcohol here and then you do your one-on-one with your therapist or psychiatrist, you know, between the both of them at the same time, actually really see a positive change.
And I like that so much. Now, once again, for the individuals that are interested in purchasing your artwork, would you give them the email one more time?
Yes. It's CHYNNAMARTINR.
Okay. Now, I want to give a quick recap. So I'm going to let you go after this. But I just want to say, you know, thank you, Lisa, for being with us today. Everyone, this is Lisa Spencer. She's a veteran advocate. She specializes in drug and alcohol. She has been through hardship. She has come through it, and she's doing her best to tell veterans this is how you not fall into the hardships that are out there and that are consuming. But if you do, these are ways to get out of it, and she's available. You know, we'll get back with you soon to find out where you end up working when you do your internship. You know, we have some friends that would be happy to probably help you. Maybe even Devil Dog USA can reach out and give you some of those credit hours if you need them. And if there's anything else that we can maybe help you out with, please let us know. Any last words for us in the audience?
Yes, I also want to say if you need to reach out to me, you can also find me on Facebook.
At Lisa Spencer.
Yes.
Okay. Lisa, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it very much.
No problem.
Now, to the rest of the audience, I want to say thank you for listening today. We've had a very informative interview with Lisa here. You can catch us next week on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. A big shout out to the Patriot Radio Nation Network. I can't express how much we appreciate them giving us this platform to continue our work. If you have the opportunity, please check out American Brand, our sponsor today. If you go to theamericanbrand.org and you type in Devil Dog USA, you'll get a discount on their media platform, and $50 from their membership will go to help homeless veterans do Devil Dog USA. So thank you very much, everyone. Take care. And this is Sergeant Duran signing out.